Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. Glad to have you, listeners from East Coast to West Coast, from Chicago down the Mississippi River all the way to New Orleans. Glad to have you. And our listeners across the globe. We know spots around the planet. You're listening in to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You let us know and we appreciate it. Now, today's show, we have got right smack in the middle of October. You know what? It's knocking on the door of November 4th, midterm elections. We are going to be talking about that in the second half of the show. Before we get to that, though, we're going to be talking about Ebola in America. Ebola, the virus. Serious. How serious? Well, do you want to know? Better listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics this week because we're going to tell you some things you may not hear anywhere else. And we're also going to be talking about ISIS, the update. What is the effect of the airstrikes? How does President Carter think President Obama is doing? Well, we're going to be talking about that real shortly here. But before we get to that, I told you last week I do have some clips of some of the people I got to see, meet, at the Value Voters Conference and Summit up in Washington, D.C. a couple weeks ago. So I'll be playing those clips. And in fact, let's get started with one right now. This is from Jim Jordan. Now, Congressman Jordan from Ohio, and just got a minute with him. I asked him about, is ISIS a serious threat to the United States right now?
You just look at what they've done, the beheadings. I don't know if you can see anything more evil than what they've done. So these are a serious threat, and we need to treat them as such.
Now that was quickly Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio, but there is someone who's not yet a United States representative. His name is Dave Bratt. Do you remember that name? Well, he beat Eric Cantor, the majority leader in the United States House of Representatives. I think the majority leader spent him like outspent Dave Bratt almost like $4 million to a couple hundred thousand dollars. I mean, the Tea Party really didn't get behind Dave Bratt because they didn't think he had a chance. But he won. He won the Republican primary. He is on the ballot, hopefully ready to win in the general election in a Republican district up in Virginia. But I did get to run into Dave Bratt. Didn't get my microphone or my recorder pulled out in time to get through our conversation. But here's a quick take on what I asked him, what he thought he could do in the United States Congress. And remember, he is a economics professor. You think we need him in Congress? I think we do. Take a listen to what Dave Bratt had to say.
What would you do if the economic situation is being in Congress? What can you do?
Well, a lot. I mean, the unfunded liabilities are the biggest deal. It's $127 trillion. And I'm going to get on the debt. We got to lower the spending is the obvious, but we got to get the economic growth going is job number one.
Well, thank God we got someone who may get into Congress that understands we have $127 trillion unfunded liability. Economics professor, I hope everybody in Virginia will vote him into office come November 4th. We need some kind of difference, expertise, somebody that understands the true debt this nation has and does not shrink from it. So I'm glad that Dave Bratt is running. I'm glad he beat Eric Cantor, and I hope that he will be a new light in the Congress. So you got to hear him an exclusive interview right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And in just a minute, I'm going to get you an answer from Mike Huckabee. Governor Mike Huckabee ran into him, asked him a question about ISIS, and he had a quick and to-the-point answer that really just, it drove the nail home. It's like, look at me, Barack Obama. I can hit a grand slam when you're trying to figure out how to swing a bat. That's what it was like to me when I heard what Mike Huckabee had to say when I asked him a direct question, ready to it. So my friend Mike Huckabee is coming up in a minute. Before he does, I want to remind you, this week, on Tuesday, October 14th, some of you may be listening to the show after that, but on Tuesday, October 14th, don't forget Unfair the Movie. Go back and listen to my show last week. It's about exposing the IRS. It's in 700 theaters. Check out, you can go Google or get on search engine, Unfair the Movie, Exposing the IRS. It'll tell you if you got a theater near you. Get out and support the movie. We've got to get something rolling to get rid of this IRS. It's outrageous. It's on our backs. We don't need it. Speaking of that, I met just last week someone who hoped to become a friend, a neighbor, not in a neighborhood, but in my neck of the woods in North Mississippi. It's former Congressman John Linder, who wrote The Fair Tax. He's the author of The Fair Tax that gets rid of the IRS. And he feels like we are going to go to it because he said there's no way really to raise revenue by getting more people involved and being a fair tax. So interesting conversation with him, and glad to know there are people who still see hope in America by Americans getting together and getting rid of the IRS. Go see the movie, Unfair, Tuesday night, October 14th, 7 o'clock, most places, in a live satellite feed with who else? Governor Mike Huckabee. In just a minute, you'll hear him. Just before you hear Mike Huckabee, some of you may know Todd Starnes, great reporter, works with Fox News, and he had this to tell you, my listeners, and others who've never heard the show about rock splitting politics. Take a listen to Todd Starnes, Fox reporter, right now, and then you'll hear from Governor Mike Huckabee.
Hello, America. Todd Starnes here from the Fox News corner of the world, and you are listening to Rock Splitting Politics. Sweet mercy.
Woo, all right.
That's good.
And Todd Starnes is from New York, Brooklyn, New York. Can you believe that? Well, actually, he got a little Mississippi accent because he was raised just south of Memphis, Tennessee. And I just want to tell you, it was fun running into Todd Starnes. If you don't listen to his show on Fox News, he has clips. He doesn't have a show, but you hear him on Fox Radio and Fox News from time to time. Great reporter, great person, and listen to Todd Starnes all you can. And now I want to play a clip from my friend Mike Huckabee I told you about. So right here, Governor Mike Huckabee.
As you see,
can you tell me what you'd do with ISIS right now if you were the president?
Well, what we'd do is we wouldn't tell them what we wouldn't do. We'd tell them that we're going to chase them to the ends of the earth, and that they're going to lose, we're going to win. That's how it works.
That's how it works. That's Governor Mike Huckabee. He's chasing to the ends of the earth. Don't tell them what we're going to do. Hey, he just sums up what Barack Obama has. Can't get a clue on how to get rid of ISIS, how to fight ISIS, and Governor Mike Huckabee, in a nutshell, in less than 10 seconds, told the President of the United States what he ought to do. And will he do it? No, because he still doesn't have a clue. It's not funny when we talked about it, and you go back and listen to other shows, there's people actually being beheaded now, women being raped, children put into sex slavery. It's unbelievable, the horrors that are going on over there, because America does not have a foreign policy worth a flip. We're not respected. And even if the airstrikes, they're still taking over cities. There's no good, effective response. And people are dying because of lack of American leadership. America leading from behind gets people beheaded. That's just a simple fact. I'm sorry to share that with you if you didn't understand that. But that's what's going on. Now, don't forget, Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee, will be going on live satellite after, as the Unfair movie winds down. They won't roll credits. They'll bring on Mike Huckabee, I think Ambassador Allen Keyes and others to come in and talk about getting rid of the IRS and how we do it. What do you do? And so it's very important. Get out and see that movie this week, Unfair, exposing the IRS. And now it's time to talk about something else. I just told you about people being beheaded, with women being raped, wives ripped away from their husbands shot, wives raped, and the children put into sex slavery, set up to be sold to the ISIS state fighters, the Islamic State fighters. It's a horrible world. This is the 21st century, and this is what's happening. What else is happening in the world? Well, in Africa, we know there's been an Ebola outbreak. It did come to the United States. When it first came, it was a couple of missionaries who contracted the virus as they were helping others, and these mission organizations helped get them into the United States. They got treatment with an experimental drug that's not very much of. It's made out of a certain tobacco plant in Kentucky, and it's experimental, and you just can't make a whole bunch of it real quick. And therefore, these American workers were treated, these American missionaries flown back, and a lot of people didn't want them flown back. Don't get Ebola on our continent, was the thought. But they were treated, released, and they survived. But then a person from Liberia flew into America, flew into Texas, and he was sick when he left. The Liberian president was so outraged, she automatically, I guess they have that power in Liberia, she just made him a non-citizen. Said, we don't want you back in Liberia. Well, he didn't. He was so sick. I don't know if he ever got the message, because he has passed away. And I think everybody knows that. But he had gone to the emergency room in Texas, and they had sent him back. Now, the way I understand it, he went to the emergency room. He was afraid because he really wasn't in the country legally, is the way I understand it. Now, how you get off the plane, you know, we got the southern border, but how you get off the plane about your visa and everything checked, I don't know. But he got, evidently was not legal, and so he didn't want to say a lot about at the ER, so he told him he'd traveled to Liberia. He didn't say he lived in Liberia, the country where there's Ebola. He just said he had traveled there, and they'd sent him home with some antibiotics, and then the vomiting and throwing up and the sickness, and got back, and then finally they discovered the Ebola was on American soil, and therefore he went in the hospital. But there were up to 100 people, or maybe even more, that could possibly have come in contact with this person. And all the details, most of you have heard on the news, bits and pieces. But this is what Doc Holliday says. This is what you need to know about Ebola in America. It's not hysteria. There's nothing to get hysteria, go crazy about. But we've got to wonder, what are we doing if open borders on the southern borders of the United States? Who's coming across, and what diseases are coming across? These 80,000 children who came across, how many diseases did they bring in? This is a health issue. It is a safety issue. It is a life and death issue. When you talk about Ebola, some places there's up to 90% death rate, 40%, 50%. There is no cure. I told you about the tobacco plant, and I think in Kentucky they used some parts of it to extract from, to try this experimental drug, and it did help the two missionary doctors who had contracted it. Now, but there's no research enough to know, and you can't get a lot of it. And if people contract it, there's a percentage that will just die no matter what you do. And that's what happened to the gentleman who came from Liberia and came to Texas. Now, what did he do? Now, what would you do if you thought you were coming down with Ebola and you knew you were more likely going to die? Well, he probably got on the plane thinking, I got to get to America. Maybe I have a chance to live. I don't know how or why. Nobody will know now. But I do know this. Ebola has made its presence known. We know there's some outbreaks in Spain. You can expect there's probably going to be some more. You can't quarantine every plane. But what this government has done, just like in the world leadership, leading from behind, it seems like we're behind the eight ball, or we're leading from behind on this health issue. So it's not something to get in all hysteria about, but it is something very concerning for America, and it seems like this world is going into chaotic outburst. Somebody said, and this makes a lot of sense to me, it's as if somebody had raised the cover off the pit of hell and it's spilling out into the world. Wow. You know, that, can you imagine that? Can you see that? Somebody pulling the cover back off the pit of hell, the devil himself maybe, and just spewing out of chaos coming from the pits of hell. Well, that sort of sounds like the world we're in. And I want to talk about ISIS just a minute, and then we will get into the midterm elections. Does this feel like we're leading up to midterm elections, talking about Ebola and ISIS, and everybody's, it's a, and I got one of these letters too. Many people are getting letters saying your insurance will no longer be in effect. I'm being terminated, me and my family. Now, we are looking, and the organization where we get our health insurance has assured me they got something similar, but it's running out. I got my letter. My policy has been canceled because it does not meet the criteria of Obamacare. And I was told, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. I did not want to change my plan. In fact, I wouldn't touch a thing because they told me, let it be grandfathered in. The president has said that you can keep it. But now the insurance company has said, we will no longer support this plan. And so does the White House blame the insurance company? I'm sure they do, but if it wasn't for Obamacare, I would have a medical plan. I wouldn't have to be going through all this searching and upheaval. And I still don't know what plan I'm going to get. It's coming up quickly. I've got to get some plan, and I got to get some insurance for my family. And I depend on that, and it's an upheaval I'd rather not have ever gotten into. And because of this president, this Congress, the one, I guess not now, but the one in 2010 that pushed this on the American people, they should pay a price to every one of those who voted for this unaffordable, uncaring act is kicked out of office. That's how I feel about it. And hope other Americans, the tens of thousands and millions, are getting these letters saying your health insurance is being canceled. I hope they'll remember that when they go to the ballot box. And this president, his popularity is going down. There's good reason for that. I think the entire Democratic Party ought to get a message that what you did to the American people will not stand. And now, before I talk a little bit about ISIS, I want to remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. And we will be talking about the midterm elections in just a minute, but I want to remind you, if you haven't got the book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, is more than just a podcast, more than just an internet radio show. It is a book. You can go to my website, order the book, and get one for your friend and your neighbor. We're glad that you're ordering the books, and some of our new listeners. And if you're around the globe, yes, you can order the book. From a website, you can't get it outside the United States. But you can go to Amazon and you can look up my book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order it through Amazon. Now, one of the most important things that you need to know, the midterm elections are coming up. You know that. But we got to get Harry Reid out of power. Three things you need to know. Judges make a big difference. We need Republicans watching over the federal judges who this president is putting in. The wild radicals have been put in too many places. Lifelong judgeships. We can't tolerate anymore. We've got to get Harry Reid and the Democrats out of power in the United States Senate. Number two, we got to get investigations. The House has had some investigations. The Senate's not looking at anything. Harry Reid is covering for the White House. That's another reason. Harry Reid must go. And the other reason Harry Reid has got over 200 bills stacked up on his desk from the House, good bills to help the economy and get jobs going and the economy growing, and he will not even bring them up for a vote. Those are the reasons why. Now, to get Harry Reid out, look at your state and where you are. And those are things we're going to talk about in the second half of the show after I do an update on ISIS. We talked about a little bit, but I got to let you know, ISIS itself is a threat that is growing. The air campaign, how many people they've killed? It seems like, I remember reading on Alan West's show, you know, so far we know about 12 people, that these Tomahawk missiles and expensive weapons going in. And if you're going to stop ISIS, stop ISIS. But the ground game is non-existent. The Kurds, they haven't got the weapons they were promised. Where are the weapons? Where the Kurds are wanting to fight and they're getting run out of town on the Syrian border because they don't have weapons. And the airstrikes, once you get in the villages, they're not going to hit civilians. So ISIS knows exactly what America's going to do. Why? Because our president has told them what we're going to do. We're not going to send in ground troops under any circumstances. So they're just sitting there with the population and probably, you know, a knife in one hand and beheading them. And we're not going to do anything if airstrikes because we don't have boots on the ground. It doesn't look like this president's going to win the war. I hope. We got to get rid of the cancer that is ISIS. One of the things that really surprised me was Jimmy Carter coming out. Let's see. You just listen to what former President Jimmy Carter had to say.
Criticizing him. First, let me tell you one thing he said, and then I'll play you the soundbite. He came out and said, "We waited too long. We let the Islamic State build up its money, capability, and strength and weapons while it was still in Syria." He thought that was a mistake, waiting too long. And then he went on to add this.
President Obama, it's been hard to figure out exactly what his policy is.
Yeah.
It changes from time to time. I noticed that both of his secretaries of defense, after they got out of office, have been very critical of the lack of positive action on the part of the president. He's been delayed. Sometimes he draws red lines on the sand in the committees, and then when the time comes, he doesn't go through with it.
You know what? He said he'd be a transformational figure, and he has been, because he has managed to bring together Dick Cheney and Jimmy Carter on the issue of his foreign policy.
Yeah, now that was Megyn Kelly on Fox News talking about Jimmy Carter, and you heard Jimmy Carter. Now, I think they were doing a Habitat for Humanity home in the background. You heard the hammers popping when they were talking to former President Jimmy Carter, but he was very critical of this president, and that's why. You have heard us on this show talk about the way President Putin of Russia has just played Barack Obama like a piano. And we've talked about the vacuum of leadership from America in so many places. And even on this Ebola, where we're sending 4,000 troops in to help attack the Ebola virus. But he's afraid to put them in harm's way for our troops to have to touch the blood and problems there of Ebola, 4,000 of them, but he won't put ground troops in. I'm not saying we have to send in ground troops, but you do like Mike Huckabee said, you don't tell the enemy exactly what you're going to do so they can plan accordingly. Well, that's the kind of president we have, and a lot of people, like I said, are dying because of the lack of American leadership over in the Middle East and around the world. So what does it mean for the midterms? Well, I know one thing. The Democrats are shaking. Their knees are shaking because the Senate could easily flip over Republican. Some people think it will. It's not a done deal, folks. The Democrats are digging deep into their money pockets. And I'll tell you, South Dakota looked like an easy Republican pickup. But all of a sudden, the Democrats are putting in $1 million along with some PAC money. It's about $3 million going into a very cheap state to advertise in. So they're going to make a run for South Carolina, which looked like it was solid Republican corner. But now South Dakota, we'll have to see if money will influence the people of that state. I hope they know how bad Harry Reid is treating America and will not go for all the ads that influence. But other races, to keep you up, we talked to them the last 2 or 3 weeks. Kansas now, I told you about it before, but Kansas, where we have an incumbent Republican who did not make more than 48%, didn't go over 50% in the Republican primary. He won the Republican primary, but it wasn't a pretty picture. And then there's one poll showing him 10 points behind an independent because the Democrat dropped out of race in Kansas. And remember, Kansas has not elected a Democratic senator since 1932. This is not a Democrat now, it's an independent, but the man has a lot of money and he's going after the seat. He got the Democrat to drop out of the race so he'd have a better shot, and he's in ahead. He was in the lead in some polls. Now it shows Roberts may be pulling back in. He had ads from people like former presidential nominee, a Republican nominee, Bob Dole. Bob Dole was old when he ran for president in 1996, but he's still influencing politics, or trying to, because he's trying to get Pat Roberts reelected as a Republican senator from Kansas. What else is going on? New Hampshire, where we have Scott Brown, who was the former senator of Massachusetts, who took over Ted Kennedy's seat, and then he got kicked out in the next election by who else? Elizabeth Warren, the liberal, who liberals who don't like Hillary won't Warren to run because they think she'll be more far left. I don't see how you get much further left than Barack Obama. But that is going on in New Hampshire, where Scott Brown is running against the Democratic incumbent Shaheen. And Shaheen has been a couple of times in the Senate. She's a former governor. And I think if you listen to my show, you know where she went to school. She went to Ole Miss. I have to say a shout out from the Rebels. Ranked number 3 in the nation, beat Alabama last week, but get the time to give you a shout out. But she went to Ole Miss, the incumbent senator there in New Hampshire. And Scott Brown is running. Some polls showing him tied. But he was 10 points behind back in the summer, and people didn't think he had a chance. But he is really getting in there. And really what's happening, the president's popularity is sinking, especially in New Hampshire. Very important to watch. Now, that could be a big win, because even if something like Kansas fell, if they could pick up New Hampshire, that would be a big win for Republicans. Louisiana, we've talked about for the last couple of years. I've talked about Mary Landrieu and how she is running in Louisiana and as the incumbent Democrat, and she is in trouble. And she fired her campaign manager less than a month before the election, trying to shake up her campaign, because she is behind and in trouble, as is a Senator Mark Pryor in Arkansas, the Democrat incumbent. Very hard road to hoe. And he's got former President Bill Clinton, the former longtime governor of Arkansas, pulling for him. And will that help? Well, Arkansas has changed since the Clintons, and it's gotten more Republican, as the old-time conservative Democrats have just about been beaten or retired. So Arkansas has a new landscape there. We'll see if former President Bill Clinton can do much right there to influence the people in Arkansas. And again, watch the governor race of Colorado. I'm telling you, if we have a Bob Beaupre, the Republican nominee, former congressman and friend of Rock Splitting Politics, I might add, because you remember he has a horse named Doc Holliday. And if you listen to the show, you know that. But I do want to tell you that if there is going to be a red wave, a Republican wave election, then Bob Beaupre must win the governorship in Colorado. That will show you that there is a wave election. It's going back and forth. He's running against the incumbent governor, Hickenlooper. But watch that very closely. I think you'll see if Bob Beaupre starts breaking away, that means the whole country is leaning more and more Republican. Very important, I'll tell you, to watch that. But where else? There's one state you need to look at as far as the Senate. Michigan has gone the Democrats' way. The Republicans have started pulling money out of Michigan. They stopped buying ads. They pulled ads. So it looks like the Republicans have given up on the Senate in Michigan. Should they? If there's a wave, maybe she could get pushed in. But they are spending their money in other places. Mitch McConnell, I told you about in Kentucky. Again, the Democrats are pouring money into that race. It could be the most expensive Senate race that's ever been. And it's showing McConnell up 3, 4, 5 points in polling. Very difficult for the Democrats now, but they're still sinking money into Kentucky. Well, will that be good or bad? Well, it depends on what happens on Election Day. November 4th coming up. I'll remind you, the people in Colorado and Oregon mailing in their ballots. And so very important. People starting early voting already in some states. So keep listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. We'll continue zeroing in on this election and where it's going and how the candidates involved are doing and how they're shaping the election. So listen to Doc Holliday's Rock Split in Politics. It's getting more and more interesting every week as we're getting closer to November 4th. Don't forget to go see the movie Unfair. Go see it. And Tuesday night, October 14th, go see it, and you'll be glad you did. Now, let me remind you, little hinges swing open big doors. We need to swing a big door open November 4th. You be a part of a movement to sing a new song in America. We want to sing a song that's never been sung before. We want to do it with a passion and with an understanding that a voice of principle, of reason, a voice that can reach out and build coalitions across America. That's why you're listening, and that's why we're helping to mold and shape the future for our children and grandchildren. Don't miss next week. It's very pivotal to hear the show we're going to have about the elections coming up next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.